of our number last night. Amen. All right. If they ain't already gone, Lynn Gray, Kelly Maggard, Mary Bowles, Lindsay Combs, Carla Medford, Sandy Evans, Nancy Evans, Judy Mullins, Ashley Mullins, Ann Morgan, Hope McCoy, Rachel Bryant. Rest of the ladies from Bond, go over as soon as the altar call is made tonight and help get ready for the crowd that's coming. Remember, breakfast is at 8 o'clock in the morning. All right, Brother Benny, come. Do you need him to move that fan? It's blowing on you.
Well, anybody out there have any mercy? Anybody out there have mercy? You got some mercy? You know one preacher standing right here that needs a touch of mercy. You've already shouted, hooped, hollered, gave, and now I've got to try to preach to you. So, here we go. Are you ready? And you say amen. Aw. Wait a minute, I'll be right back. Are you ready? Say amen. Oh, I feel better. Genesis 15, verse 16. And in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. I just want you to notice those words, is not yet full, talking about iniquity. Amen? Join me in prayer, Father. Help us. We cannot help anyone without the help of a divine person. And we ask you to be that person tonight, Lord Jesus, getting the glory and the honor through all that we say or do in Jesus' name. And the church said,
amen.
If ever there was a time, we have this sense, this feeling, this dread, this great trepidation, that it cannot keep going like it is. After a while, the cup will get full. Sin cannot go except towards judgment. God may be long-suffering, God may be merciful, but sooner or later, every sin must be accounted for. Nobody shall sin with impunity. You will be charged with sin. People will, families will, nations will, and the world will. God, when he holds court, will start with individuals and families, then nations. Am I right? He said to nations, right hand, left hand, sheep, goats, judgment had come. Amen. So it is with us in our day. We know we've got it coming. We have sat by and watched sin come in like a tide. The mysterious thing about a tide is it doesn't come all at once. Three small waves, then a lapping wave that goes further. And then it draws back, and then three more small waves, and then a lapping wave that goes further. Until the tide has completely come in. We have faced it. We have watched the tide of sin rise in our nation. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We have watched it come to the threshold of our churches. We've seen it go into organizations that were more than us. And we watched sin divide them. Our little community of Dayton, which is not a large city, just went through a major church split. The Lutherans were put in a position that they had to vote for a bishop. And the man that they were putting up for Bishop was an open homosexual. The church voted. He was instated, and the church split. Tide had raised in the Lutheran church to a high mark. You didn't hear me, did you? Tide had come in slowly, subtly, one little wave, another little wave, and then an encroachment. One little wave, another little wave, and then an encroachment. And we have watched holiness face the tide. It's still coming. One little wave, two little waves, then it's coming. A little bit more. We feel helpless, sometimes frustrated over the dark scene around us. We have cried, as Brother Height preached, Lord, we need help. We cannot face this tide without help. There's so much on the side of evil, wealth and prestige and power, all loaning itself to the advancement of that tide of evil. It's coming. We've seen the world's opinion makers stand up for wrong. We've seen our own Supreme Court make decisions that were wrong. We've seen them condemn public display of the Ten Commandments. It's an encroachment, one little wave, another little wave, and then a larger. Then it withdraws, and we say, maybe it won't be that bad. But all the time, the tide is rising. The iniquities of the Amorites is not yet full. God said that. The iniquity of the Amorites are not yet full. How close? We don't know, but God did. He talked of the term of not full yet. Now, we can't say America holds out an empty cup. We know we have poured into the wrath of God. We have done things that have made God angry with us as Americans. I'm not, because I'm holiness doesn't mean that I'm not an American. I am patriotic. I want my country to be a good country, a God-fearing country. Can I get an amen? I would to God we had a praying president. I wish the whole Senate was full of holiness people. But it's not. And therefore, we have seen the legislation as it has come against the family. There never was such a fearful flood as the flood that was turned on against our families. People would rather shack up now than marry. Now you can shout amen about that if you want to, or you don't have to, but that's still the gospel truth and you know it. They call themselves significant alsos, or my certain, you know, my partner by choice, my partner, my life partner. And they call it many things so it won't look, but it's just a little wave. That's another little wave. And then all of a sudden, here comes a larger wave that tears the foundation out from under us. We have not prayed. We have not sought God. And now we're watching women embrace another woman in marriage. We have not prayed. We have not sought God. We have not tried to turn the tide. And now for we've seen men marrying men. You can't help me tonight, can you? I knew it would be rough when I got up here. You see, the influence of art on society usually is hostile towards the lifestyle that we practice. Hostile towards us. Because we are not What is that? Tolerant. That's the word. We are not tolerant. That's the little wave. And tolerant. Intolerant. That's another little wave. But then the flood comes to where it becomes a law. And you go to jail because you're intolerant. Are you ready for the flood? Is your conviction strong enough to stand in the flood? You see, Jesus said there's a parable. Have you read it? Did you read it? There was two men who built. Have you read the parable? Two men that built. The one man built because he was a wise man and knew that time there would be eventually a storm that would try his house. So he dug deep. Am I right? He dug deep. He laid his foundation on a rock. His neighbor didn't think about time and storms. Only the quick activity of getting it over with. So he built his house upon the sand. Well, they were both beautiful homes, no doubt, and they were both satisfying homes until the storm came. The winds blew and the rains came down, and after a while, when you get enough water falling, you're going to have a problem of where to do with the water. It's not the rain, it's not the wind, but it's the water that accumulates, because then there's going to be a force let go. And the flood came from the rain and the wind and the storm. And a flood came from the rain and the wind and the storm. It didn't come with the flood. It came from the rain and the wind and the storm. The little lapping of the shoreline. And then here comes the big overlapping wave that raises the tide. And there all of a sudden you are facing the dropping of the rain and the feeling of the wind. And do not understand that after a while, if it rains very long, you get the days of Noah. But we don't have to worry about that because God said it would never happen again. But what happens about those floods that come against your house? Do you hear? It's raining. We're going to be tested. It's raining and the wind's blowing. It's a storm, not a flood, but it's going to produce an after effect. It's going to produce an after effect. And it's going to try your very foundation. It will all depend on what you have built on. You hear me? You don't act like you're hearing me. I don't want it to come, but it's coming. I know it's coming. I've already felt the lapping against my foundation. I look at my grandchildren. I say, my God, my God, my God, have mercy. My precious Savior, have mercy. I'm old, and if I get swept away, no loss. But they're young. No, they won't have a chance to do it, but they're going to face the terrible flood that's coming. They're going to have to live in a society that's like the days of Lot. But before we run up the white flag of surrender, we should ask ourselves a few questions. And the questions are very easily understood because we're believers who had the advantage when Pharaoh's chariots were closing in on God's children. Everybody would say Pharaoh, but we know the difference. A human viewpoint who had the resources when Gideon took his 300 men against people who were innumerable. We think, oh, Lord, I don't like those odds. From the human viewpoint, you might think that the prestige of Rome was enough. It crucified an innocent man, put him in a tomb, and put the Roman seal. You would have thought that's all. That's it. It'll hold. But that was the biggest mistake that anyone ever made, leaving God out of the equation. You see, we know that God has the last. But the church faces insurmountable odds. We're like David facing Goliath single-handedly, knowing we don't have any help anywhere, not from the king, not from our brothers, not from any soldier that's in the army. All of them had been spooked by Goliath. We're facing Goliath. We're facing it alone. And Saul, when he had a chance to help David, tried to make him another Goliath, putting armor on him, giving him a sword, taking him and trying to make him what he thought could win the battle. But there he is. David, standing single-handedly against a giant, says, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." Well, you know the story, don't you? It's the impossible. David comes back with Goliath's head. That's impossible. But there is two things that I want you to know. He said, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." Saul had no comprehension, and neither do a lot of you. Saul had no comprehension. What happened when Samuel poured that oil on the head of David? Saul had no comprehension that there was. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Two things that can stem the tide and hold it back: the name of the Lord and the anointing of His Spirit. Only two things that we know really works: the name of the Lord. Amen. What's that name? Jesus. Come on, church, act like you know what you're talking about. I think you turned it all in. We ashamed of that name? We should never be ashamed of that name. It's the only name that's going to get us through. We have no other help. Our help comes in that name. We have no other access to God. We get to God through that name. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what the anointing of the Holy Ghost can do. Amen. The old timers over home told stories when the depression was on and there was no money to be had. And those old timers said, "The Lord told me to go preach." One preacher told me, gospel fact, he said, "I was on my way and had a blowout." He said, "The whole side of my car went with the blowout." He said, "I stopped my car, got out and looked at it, and knew there was no fixing it." He said, "Then I remembered that God told me to go preach that revival." He said, "I got out of my car and went back there and laid hands on that tar." He said, "And in the name of the Lord, I went on in the revival." He said, "The tar could not hold air, but the tar held air." He said, "God did not fix the tar. God pumped it up." Leave the impossible to God. Go in His name with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and we can do something about the tide that's coming. It is coming. You may not think so. The name of Jesus is still the most powerful weapon that we have. In the name of Jesus, we will overcome. We can stand. Now, you're not helping me. We can stand because the Holy Ghost will come. In the name of Jesus, He will come. Do you remember that? How many times have you said it and the Holy Ghost has shown up? I'm nobody. I don't have any special gifts. I'm not a prophet. I'm just a preacher. And in preaching, God has ordained that I become a pastor. I have been a pastor for 45 years. These things didn't happen in a crusade or in a revival. They happen right in our little general assemblies. Amen. We just have church. Things happen when you go to church. How many know that? When I was at Scotland, Indiana, my wife can verify this. My wife was there. She can verify it. We had a lady that died. She turned gray. She was gone. In the name of Jesus. As a little old pastor of just in my 20s, I went against death in the name of Jesus and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I just had two things, the name of Jesus and had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Are you boasting, preacher? No, I'm not boasting. I'm telling you, it's not what I can do, because without Him, I can do nothing. Are you ready to admit that? Are you ready to say, without you, Lord Jesus, I can do nothing? How many know that scripture? Try John 15. Without me, you can do nothing. We need to admit that. We need to own up to that. We're not here by ourselves. But He did say, when I go back to the Father, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another comforter. That another comforter, that word another means of the same kind. He said, you've seen me do it. The Holy Ghost is coming to do the same thing. Did He not do it? Did He not pray the Father? Did the Holy Ghost not come? Is He not here tonight? Is He not with you? Is He not in you? Does He not abide at your house? Then I'm asking you, let's come back to the issue. The flood's coming. The tide's raising. The mark of sin is higher than it's ever been in America. We need something that'll stand and withstand the tide. And it's nothing but the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. You got it? You got it? You got it? How many out there would raise one hand and say, I got it? I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. You really got it? Stem the tide. You really have it? Don't run up a white flag. Don't call it impossible. Don't just say it's the way it's going to be. We've got a few more days before this cup gets full. And in those few days, we need to reach out with the power of the Holy Ghost and the name of Jesus and have a revival where our people get saved. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou. Wow. You know what the rest of the scripture says? Be not afraid of them. You see the tide coming? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Transgressors are coming to a fool. It's prophesied in the book of Daniel. It's prophesied that there will be a man of sin that will cause the cup to run over. There will be a man in his reign, a wicked king with power to understand dark sentences. He will be a ravish. He will be odd, but he will be charismatic, and the world will bow to him. The flood will have come to its apex, and the world will rebel against God. Am I preaching right? There's a day coming when every nation will align itself with this man. The whole world will go mad. It'll go mad because it's given its allegiance to a man of sin who is going to bring the tide to its apex, the high tide. When everybody receives a mark, when everybody will worship and everybody will bow and worship Him, and if not, you'll face death. The high tide is coming. But now, my friend, we just feel the lapping. And we know it's getting higher. It's come further than we've ever thought it would. We see the weakness of our church. We see the lack of revival. We see the lack of unity. You sit out there tonight and you don't care if I preach or not. I stand up here under the flag and the banner of God saying, it's preach or die. It's preach or die. And I gotta preach to you so this flood can stop long enough for us to get our children. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, capital S, Holy Ghost, saith the Lord of hosts. God recommends something for the last day. Not more of us, just more of Him. We do not have to be mega churches to stem the tide. In fact, the mega church cannot stem the tide. We are the salt. And when we lose our savor, we're good for nothing. They are just what they are, but we are salt. You hear me? We are salt. And when salt has lost its saltiness, it's fit to be thrown out and trodden underfoot. Now there's only one thing stand between us and being a good for nothing. And that's the name of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Ghost. And when we've lost that ability to call on the name of the Lord, when we lost that ability to do something by the power of the Holy Ghost, there's no place else. There's nothing else left. The tide's going to win. Evil's going to come. And the only thing that we are going to be able to do is say, oh God, I just want to make it. I don't want to just make it. I just don't want to make it. I want to fight as long as there's fight in me. I want to stand for something. I won't want to fall for nothing. I want to stand like my old grandma did. I want to stand like my old grandma did. When she didn't have anything, she had the power of the Holy Ghost. She come out of a Baptist church into Pentecost. Got sanctified, lived a holy life without anybody preaching to her. She knew that the only way she could get her three boys back from the Second World War alive was to get God involved. So she went to the closet and said, God, I want my boys back home. And she prayed that way, and she prayed that way, and she prayed that way until one day she come out of the closet and she told her daughters, they're all three coming home. Now that's hard to believe, isn't it? One was with Patton's brigade. The other got there at the initial invasion and went all the way to Germany, dodging bullets, dodging bombs, dodging everything. Only thing between them and certain death is the name of Jesus and a little woman with the power of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, the name of Jesus has always prevailed. And the power of the Holy Ghost has always brought it to pass. And if there's ever a time the tide needs to be stemmed, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, Jesus. The latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to fool, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. That little horn. History. Oh, yes. But there is something that we must understand. This little horn of Daniel 7:8 will commit sacrilege and murder on an even greater scale. The picture of a transgressor. Fool is consistent with the biblical record of God's dealing with man. Scripture records time when there is an intervention in human affairs has always been drastic. And oh, the last move of God is so drastic. If I understand math, we're looking at God to get so angry that He will slay billions of people. that a third of the population, we're not talking about 100. We're not talking about 100,000. We're not talking about 100 million. We're talking about billions of people. Will one of those billions of people have your last name? Will one of them be your child who stayed out in darkness too long and got blinded by the God of this world? Will one of those 2 or 3 billion people who are destined to die in the wrath of God be some of your blood, some of your grandchildren or great-grandchildren? You're saying, Brother Benny, it don't bother me. It don't affect me. No, it don't, does it? The flood has not come to a fool, but it's closer now than when I first believed. I've never seen sin take on such dominion. I've never seen it take on such dimensions. I've never seen it take on such demonics. I've never seen sin so angry as it does now. It takes a life and rips it apart. They're tattooing themselves up. Excuse me. I said they're tattooing themselves up. All to do because God said, he that defileth this temple, him shall God destroy. So what does the devil do? The devil makes you work for him. He'll make it a fad. He'll make it a fashion. He'll get you doing it. So you will be on God's hit list. Amen. Are you letting your children get too close to the flood? Aren't you afraid they're going to be swept away? Aren't you afraid you won't get to them in time? Aren't you afraid that you're not going to be able to reach them? There's no more horrid feeling than to watch somebody go down into the pit knowing they're lost forever. The cup is fuller than I've ever seen it. Few more drops, a little bit more, and God says, the end of my long suffering. You see, for the scripture tells us that God is a God of long suffering. 1 Peter 3:20, the long suffering of God waited. That's where you're at. He's waiting till the cup is full. The long suffering of God waited. If you could see it from God's standpoint, I wouldn't have to make an altar call. You'd be up here tonight. You'd be saying, oh God, help me. Help me. I've got to reach them. Help me, Lord. Give me a burden. I don't have a burden. I'm just footloose and fancy free. Lord, I don't care if the church has revival or not. It's just, and if we could see like God sees and see each drop of sin that our nation is committing, abortion by the millions, innocent blood in our sewers, and God does not care. God said, your cup, the long, suffering of God, wait. How much longer is he going to boast? What are you going to do? Let it be written down in our book, our chapter of holiness, that we run up the white flag and quit resisting sin. Let it be said of us that we were the generation that didn't care if people went to hell. For our forefathers would pray 16, 17 weeks, 2 months. They'd pray for a revival and God would send them a man. And here we schedule our revivals a year ahead of time and we're glad when they're over. Our forefathers prayed that God would give them a revival. sometimes a preacher would come from there in Dayton when they were at over there on Ralston Avenue, Dryden Road, before they moved to where they're at. They were praying for revival. You know who God sent them? Never been there before, didn't know anybody. Drove up and got his guitar and plopped himself down in the back seat. You know who it was that God spoke to come? L.D. Moore, clear from out in Oklahoma, didn't know nobody. Here he come, guitar. Here he come, preaching. And here come revival. When was the last time you felt like that was so important to you that you could give weeks? To the birth of a revival. I'm lucky as a pastor to keep you all week. You'll schedule something. You'll not be there every night. You're not hearing me. You won't be there every night. There'll be something more important to you than revival. Come. Now you're not helping me preach. You sit on me if you want to. I already got my help here. I'm just going to preach it out. The flood's coming. Ask Brother Savage. He lives in Washington, D.C., in that area. Ask him. He'll tell you the flood has never been like it is. Ask John Gabbert. Sheltered by Jackson County. Way back up here in the holler. Tell me truthfully, Pastor. Is the flood rising ever on it? Is it higher than it was last year? Do we expect casualties? If it don't get stemmed, do we expect casualties? Oh, I just felt the Holy Ghost breathe on me, and I'm here to tell you. Let me tell you from the Holy Ghost. Let me speak for Him right now. The Spirit of the Lord. Unless we stem this, we're going to have casualties. We're going to lose more preachers. We're going to lose preachers' wives. We're going to lose children. We're going to lose families. And you think it's time to stand up there and not respond to Joy Heights preaching? You think he was just up there just talking about we need help? Somebody ought to know that if we can't get out of this flood, we're going to be swept away. These precious young ladies, my heart goes out to you. I love you. But if you knew what I knew as an old man, watch your face and puts chills up and down my back. It makes me fearful for you. When I see a little one like that, I look at her future. My God, what she's going to face. And here we are, the last force to withstand darkness. If holiness gives it up, the flood's coming in. If holiness gives it up, the flood's going to overflow us. If holiness gives it up, there is no revival. God is not going to raise up another group of people. He raised us up. Oh, hallelujah. He raised us up. We're the hope of the last generation. He raised us up. We're the only one that says sin is still sin. Right is still right. Wrong is still wrong. We're the only one that preaches a pure doctrine. We're the only one that has the move of God. You say, now, Brother Benny, you're just batting your lips. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. There's organizations that are greater than us, but they're contemplating giving the approval for social drinking. There's organizations that have more than us. More money, more potential, but they are already gave their doctrine up. But wow, the wall that's holding back the flood is people who are holiness, who know how to pray, who know how to say the name of Jesus in sincerity, not just with your lips, from your heart. Oh God, give us heart. In this last day, give us heart. Let's work for the damned and the dying. Let's cry out to God for one more chance to stand against the tide. Raise your hands and ask God to help me. The Hebrew word for full just means complete. It's rendered whole. It means a period comes to its climax. We're about to close the book on us. The rapture is going to come. And we're about to close the book on us. You said, when do you expect it? Anytime. I'm preaching. Somebody said, Brother Benny, you just come to show off this year because you're not coming back. I'm not showed off yet. What am I showing off? A burden? That's something every one of us ought to have. What am I showing off? Concern? I've had this from day one. Or I wouldn't have been here all these years if I hadn't had it. If I'd have been a counterfeit, if I'd been a fly by night, if I hadn't have stood up, if I hadn't have lived it in front of you, you wouldn't have had nothing to do with me. So I'm here and I'm preaching and my heart's breaking because I don't have anyone standing in the gap and making up the hedge. I'm here. My heart's crying out for the bond church. You better get ready. It's coming. You'd better get ready. If you don't get a united front, if you don't start throwing the sandbags of unity up, if you don't start getting together, if you don't start forgiving one another, if you don't start making things right, the flood's going to come. It's going to hit Bond. If we don't do it at Dryden Road, the flood's coming. You can ask my people. We don't have it easy in the city. We've got it rough in the city. We face more sin in a day than you do in a week. We see it on billboards. We see it on the square. We see it going down the road. We have to look at it all the time. We have to fight it all the time. There's been times when people have come through our church door saying, something spoke to me out there and said, what you need is in there. If the Holy Ghost is out there witnessing to people, trying to get them to your church, where in the world are you? If the Holy Ghost is out there bringing people in, we had a young man came. We love him. His name is Chad. I love him. I pray for him. He came to us full of the devil. Full of a devil hiding behind his Pentecostal experience. He could talk in tongues. He could shout. He could do it all. My boys didn't know what to do with him. Am I right, Andrew? They didn't know what to do with him. He would just shout around them. They'd pat him on the back. So I finally got tired of watching him and went down there and I said, hold it, buddy. Hold it. Number one, you're not shouting no more. Just give up the shout, give up the pretense of a dance, and stop speaking in tongues. Because you're making fun of us. And we will not tolerate it. That devil thought he could just dance his way through. He would try to speak in tongues. I said, shut up. You're getting weaker. We're getting stronger. You're getting weaker. We're getting stronger. And before it was over, he spit up devils. Oh, yeah. Now he sits on the front seat. One of my best backers. And loves me. Because when the flood was about to wash him away, I reached into the flood. And in the name of Jesus, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, pulled him back out of the flood. I want you to know, my friend, it still works. The devil will give place to the name of Jesus. He will recognize the power of the Holy Ghost. He won't do it in you when you're playing. He won't do it in you when you've got lip service. But when you really stand, and you stand from the depths of your heart, and you believe in the name of Jesus, that God got him up out of the grave, and that he ascended to the right hand of God, and the Holy Ghost has come down, to bring a church out of the wilderness. Well, you're not helping me preach. I must hurry. How long have I been? God has a timetable. How many will say that? God has a timetable. Come on, church. God has a timetable. No man knows but the Father in heaven, but he's got a timetable. And he will always deal with sin. God in his wisdom will allow it to run. He'll allow it to run its full course. The harvest will start. And when the harvest starts, God will not give up the harvest till every soul has been harvested. There will be enough. Do you understand what the word enough is? Enough. God's going to say, it's enough. 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 What a horrible word. Enough. The cup is full. Time has run out. There's no more repentance. No more high priest. No more mediator. No more paracletes. The Holy Ghost moves off of the scene of repentance and conviction. Jesus steps off of the right hand of God. And the world is left without a Savior. And the only one on the horizon is the man of sin, who is going to damn more people to hell than any man that ever lived. For everyone that he can talk into taking a mark or worshiping him has sealed their doom. God has a timetable. Where are we on this timetable? You're a young pastor. What's God's timetable? What do you got? Tell me. We don't even want to take a venture. But the reason I live holiness, it could be before I get through preaching. The final amen to my final sermon may be God and a trumpet sound. Are you helping me preach? Adam and Eve, when they were reproved of God, were embarrassed. They felt unclothed. Now our children go to school with no clothes on. You're not helping me, are you? Anybody there got an amen for an old preacher? They go to school. You can go to a kindergarten and they will be dressed in modest. Am I right? Babies. Already. Earrings. Young men. Young boys. Babies. Already marked with sin. And we can't envision the flood. We can't see it. Our public schools are swept away. They're already in the flood of their life. They're putting guards in kindergarten, elementary school, high schools with metal detectors. And you don't see the flood. America's booze is America's pleasure. There's more booze than you've ever imagined could ever sweep a nation. They can't have a good time without booze. If it's not booze, then it's a joint. If it's not a joint, it's a pill. And pleasure is wrapped up around it. And you can't see the flood coming? Shall I go on? How about if I tell you that 2 out of 3 in America and their marriages fail? But can I tell you that the church is not too far behind it? That we now have more divorced people than we've ever thought we would ever have to deal with? The home is under attack. One barrier after another crumbling. Paul warns that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. I just say in another way of come to fool. The cup is coming to a fool. It's coming to a fool. We now have people coming out of the closets. Congressmen, senators, baseball players, basketball players. All of them wanting their moment on television so they can tell everybody, I am coming out. I think you are to receive me. I think you are to help me. But listen to the word of God, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The New American Standard Bible rephrases that last phrase, but have pleasure in them that do them. It translates those words as, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Hearty approval. We clap our hands. We buy their products. We wear their logos. We want to be just like them. And we say, and God said, put a little more in the cup. And the tide raises until we're just about ready to watch it overrun its rim, and then judgment. Judgment is coming. You may not help me preach tonight, but you won't stop judgment. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Sin never stands still. It feeds on its own effects. Evil is like a ravishing disease. Sometimes there is a temporary remission, followed by an onslaught of a fiercer than ever. With such succeeding generations of moral cancer spread, today we're reaping the unsavory fruit of permissiveness that were seeds planted long ago. Sin. One thing I'm doing tonight, warning sinners that Satan is tightening his grip. Very atmosphere which will keep becoming heavier with satanic influence. You've never seen so much. But our hope is now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Perilous times are engulfing our world. They were predicted. His word helps us keep. If we will, God will keep us. But if we don't, then we will be on our own. You see, this is what the Bible says. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers. That's what Jesus spoke to his generation. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers. We should use that not as a contradictory one, but as a positive one. Do we worship God like our forefathers? Do we carry a burden like our forefathers? Fill you up the measure of your father? When they had revivals at birth Pentecost, and now. Oh God, and now. Perilous times. They're coming. They're on us. We cannot escape them. Perilous times. Oh God. Perilous times shall come. How many know that? Are you going to help me? I'm almost done. Perilous times shall come. We're in them. They're perilous. Times that we cannot escape from. Perilous times. If we're not careful, we will fail of the grace of God. I know you don't like that. That's okay. Tide of sin is rising to its flood level state. And you sit by as another year is swept away. If this is October, there are not too many camp meetings left after this. This could be your last hope. What if this is the last camp meeting? Have you done anything to stem the tide? Has there been any sacrifice of you at all, of laying yourself in the gap, making up the heads? Is there anything that you have done that's any different than what you've done for the last 10 years? You've literally watched the tide rise and sweep things away, and you've done nothing. Nothing. Now you say, Brother Benny, you're just judgmental. I know it. But while the Holy Ghost is on me, who do you think is saying these words? What have you done to stem the tide? You've been a pastor now for quite a while. It's an awesome responsibility to know we've got to stem the tide. You understand? You young men, you want to preach, you want to be an evangelist, you want to be a prophet, you want to be like Brother Gabbert, you want to be able to do these things. The first thing you need to do is get in the water and try to hold back the tide. You can't sit on these pews anymore. You cannot sit in these pews anymore without a burden, without a vision. You cannot sit in these pews anymore and just say, God, will you do something? And God's looking over the banister and said, if you could see what's left to fill up in that cup, that just a one more major thing in America could be the thing that breaks the tide and fills the cup. What else can America do to get God more angry than He is? I ask you, tell me. Tell me. What more can America do to get God more angry than He is? Innocent babies on demand. A mother can forfeit them at her own discretion. Our homes, marriage, our economy, we've asked for it. By our doing nothing, we've asked for it. And now we must ask Him who rules in the affairs of men, have mercy, God. It's high time to wake out of sleep. It's high time to wake out of the sleep that we're in. It's high time to wake out of the sleep we're in, the slumber that we've been rocked to sleep by. It's high time to get up. It's high time to wake up. It's high time to stand up. It's high time to pray up. And it's high time to get ready if we're ever going to face what's going on and face it today. You put it off till tomorrow, you'll put it off till long. If you're not going to change tonight, you won't change tomorrow. You won't change a month from now. You won't change at all. You've been that way. And you know who's guilty in the sight of God? Us. For He gave us a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, everything in heaven bows. And everything on earth bows. Am I right? Am I right, Brother Bill? And then what's the other? Under the earth. We have that name. That everything in heaven honors. And everything on earth must reverence. And every devil in the pits of hell trembles at. And we have that name, and we have the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and the flood's coming. And the Bible said, and when the enemy shall come in as a flood, the Lord will do what? Will do what? Oh, you're not helping me preach. Do what? Who is the standard? When I was in the service, they taught us to never make a hole in the line. Never let your line be penetrated. Don't let the enemy get behind you. keep that firewall out there. Somebody drops, you get in his place. You take up that firing position. You fire. You keep that firing line going. You keep it going. You keep it going because it's an impenetrable wall of hot lead coming right at you. It reaches, my friend. It's powerful. But we have scattered. Some folks said, you and Brother Gabbert don't get along. We don't have to get along. All we got to do is preach. If he wants to be a Kentuckian and I want to be a Hoosier, and you're going to keep us from preaching. What's more important than where I'm from? What I'm preaching.
Right.
I need somebody up here on the line. I need somebody right here beside me who's got the same vision I have, who sees the only way to stop this is for the Lord to raise up a standard, the standard of holiness, the standard of revival, the standard of God filling us with the Holy Ghost and fire, not just tongue talking, a Holy Ghost that fills you with fire. Fire that'll burn it out of you. Fire that'll make you do up. Amen. Jeremiah said it's like fire shut up in my bones. When I don't want to, I got a fire in me that says you will do it. I don't want to go to church. I find myself in church. Why? Because there's a fire burning in my bones. When I get tired of preaching to like people like you, and I say they're not trying to help me. Lord, I've never changed them. Why don't I just quit? Why don't I just quit and retire and never have to face those people again who are never going to do nothing? Because there's a fire in my bones and I got to preach again. And if you won't listen to me, I'll preach till somebody listens to me. Because we need revival and we need God's help and our children need rescued and our nation is on the brink of disaster and we must do something. For months and years, Lord, they're not changing. I've gave them my best years. I have poured my heart into this movement. I have drove hours, miles. I have done two jobs. I have been a revivalist and a pastor. I have done it and I've poured my soul into it, Lord, but they're not changing. It's brought me down till I'm weak. I'm good looking at you and I say, God, I love them, but I can't help them. I love them, Lord, but I can't help them. They won't pay me no attention. And then the Holy Ghost speaks. And he said, neither will they hear me. And if you won't hear the Holy Ghost and you won't hear a preacher, the flood's going to take you away. Help me. And yet they're not changed. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, forsake their sins, you see, I've not changed you yet. I shouldn't have to call you to an altar. If I have preached the truth to you tonight, you, the truth itself should have drawn you to this situation because you know the flood's coming. The cup is almost full. And time is running out. And God's timetable will always be kept. Ho, 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 ho. God help us. 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 God help us tonight. 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 Oh, God help us tonight. They're not worth crying over. Your grandchildren, are you going to lose them to this flood? Are they not worth weeping over? Is our nation that had been so good to us not worth shedding a few tears over? Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Come. Come.